I won't ask how many have ever betted on it, but you know that they have the Melbourne Cup and they rate it in regard to handicap. So depending on how good you are and how many races you've won in the years or months or before, depends on the weight you get. That's a handicap. Anyone watch the Stork Gift, that's the one. Anyone watch that? And they never run in the same, no one ever starts at the same spot, do they? They all are handicapped according to where they are at. Well, on a count back, the men won the cricket. No doubt about it. Because I looked at the people who were playing on the men's side and looking at the weight they were carrying and the handicap they had. In fact, some were starting from a long way back, I can tell you. So there was no doubt that the men won once again. Congratulations, men. Let's congratulate the men. Those young people have got to do a lot better than that if they're going to beat us, that's for sure. Father, we just thank you for the men. Wrong prayer. Lord, we think of spiritual gifts. We just thank you for the opportunity we have again of coming around your word. And Lord, as we unpack this great subject, Lord God, as we just look at the benefits that you have given to us through having the Holy Spirit living within. And Lord God, for the knowledge that when your Son went back to you, that he said he was going to send us the Counselor, the Comforter, the Helper, the thing that we needed in our lives to be able to achieve and do the things that he'd commissioned us to do before he left earth. And so, Lord, I thank you that in each and every one of us who know you as our personal Savior, we have the awesome Holy Spirit as our aid, as our helper. And the gifts that we're talking about are part of what the Holy Spirit brings to us to be able to achieve your word. So, Lord, I pray that you would continue to open our eyes. I thank you for just your Spirit just continuing to illuminate himself, as it were, in regard to the use and the operation of these gifts in this body. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So far, we've looked at how to operate the gifts effectively. And I keep on repeating myself, and I will continue to do that. So just put up with it, because if we can get it into our brains, if we can remember it, if we can understand it, then we're going to know why we have the scriptures that we have and why God has talked to us through Paul like he has. So the first thing to do in operating the gifts effectively in our bodies or in our lives or in this church is that we need to hand ourselves over completely to God. We're not to think more highly of ourselves. We've got to recognize and remember that we are a body made up of many members. We don't all have the same gifts, but we do have all the gifts operating in this body. And to see the body working effectively, we've got to do it through love. We've got to do it with the outworking of unity. So if you're operating a gift and it's not in love, or it doesn't bring forth unity, then it's not of God. We then looked at possible reasons why we don't see the gifts operating. And I talked about the seasons of God. I talked about possible lack of teaching. I talked about the lack of spiritual depth in the church today. And then the last challenge in that sermon was that we should not quench the Spirit. And I think that's probably the biggest one. I think that more often than not, it wouldn't matter about the teaching. It wouldn't matter about the seasons. If we quench the Spirit from using us, then we're robbing God from doing the things that he wants to do through us, in us, and in other people's lives. Then the last time I spoke, a couple of weeks ago, we started to unpack each of the individual gifts, and we looked at prophecy in detail, just the gift of prophecy. We talked about that because Paul says that I would desire or earnestly suggest that you should covet or seek prophecy as one of the better gifts. Prophecy is such a brilliant gift, and a gift that really does impact the body of Christ in a mighty way, but unfortunately a gift that is often abused. What is prophecy? Prophecy is a person receiving from the Holy Spirit direct inspiration of a word from or of God for the church or an individual. Prophecy has to be always for edification, that's the improvement of somebody or the education of somebody, for exhortation, that's encouragement, or for comfort, it brings security. Prophecy is instantaneous without premeditation. Now, we talked about that in the office. We have chew the pastor out on Monday and Tuesdays, and we pull us all apart. And we talked about the instantaneous bit. When I say instantaneous, it's not premeditated to the thing, I think I'll have a prophetic thought about somebody now. Really, that wouldn't be a prophetic thought. That'd probably be a pathetic thought. Instantaneous is when it pops into your head or into your spirit for no reason. You could be mowing the lawn. It could be a week before the case may be. But it's instantaneous in the way that it just comes into you. It's not a premeditated. It's not, I'm going to study this. I'm going to look at this. It's just bang, it's there. And then you know when God wants you to deliver that. The person prophesying, we looked at that whole area about prophesying in faith or in the faith. And we found that the person prophesying must be sincere and make sure that what he or she says aligns with the word of God. And then the person receiving the prophecy, the Bible says that we are not to despise it, but to test both what is said and who is saying it. And so if you are going to give a word of prophecy to somebody or to the church, don't be upset if not everybody receives it. It might be that they hang it on a hook. I always say, if it's not for now, God, I'm going to hang it on the butcher's hook and I'm going to keep it there until it comes to pass or until it brings forth edification, comfort, or exhortation. So, in short, we're not to despise prophecy because it might not be for you. It might be for somebody here who has no knowledge about, yet a word is being spoken into them. And so I encourage you, if you want to, you can pull those notes down off the web if you really want to, or you can get them on a CD. So tonight I want to start to unpack another three of the gifts. And I'm clustering these together as a bulb of fruit because they actually do come together. And it would be easy to work together on these whole three together. And it's the cluster or the gifts of revelation or the gifts of knowing. That is the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. These three gifts of revelation, through the three gifts of revelation, we may know anything that is in God's storehouse of knowledge that he chooses to reveal by his spirit. Think about that. That's an incredible thought. Through the three gifts of revelation, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits, we may know anything that is in God's storehouse of knowledge that he chooses to reveal by his Spirit. You know, when you think of God's storehouse of knowledge, when you think that God's mind is from there to there, you can never find it, it never fills, and that because we have God's Spirit in us, through that storehouse of knowledge, we may know anything that God wants us to know in regard to the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. Remember, we said in prophecy is a word from God for the church or an individual, whereas the revelation gifts are given to an individual for their own insight. So when you get a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or a discerning of spirits, it's God giving you a word for your own insight. It's not necessarily a word for the church. It's not necessarily a word for another person. I might have a word of knowledge over, let's say, Chris. When I give her that word of knowledge, it's not a word of knowledge for her because it's already part of her life. It's a word of knowledge to me. I might get a word of wisdom in a situation and might be in a meeting, you know. That's crazy. Yeah. It's gone. Anyhow, it doesn't matter. I'll remember your name in a minute and then I'll come back to you. I need a word of knowledge here. Just hang on. But you're in a meeting and all of a sudden you know that you need some insight or help. And a word of wisdom comes into your being. As soon as you speak that wisdom, it's for you. It's not for them. It brings forth what God wants it to do. And the same with discerning of spirits. You might be with somebody and you might sense something that's wrong. It's for you. It's for your insight. So let's look at the word of knowledge in detail right now. And let's quickly just unpack these three. And they won't be as long as prophecy because they don't need to be. The word of knowledge. Can we go to that page? Thanks. The word of knowledge. The word of knowledge is a supernatural manifestation of the Spirit of God that reveals one part of God's knowledge. Let me read that again. The word of knowledge is a supernatural manifestation of the Spirit of God that reveals one part of God's knowledge. We'll unpack that in a minute and explain what that means. 1 Corinthians 2:8 says, "None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things that God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God." So the Spirit of God reveals to us what the human mind hasn't conceived or the eye hasn't seen. So as I said last week when I talked about prophecy, sometimes it's easy to look at what something isn't to understand a little bit about what it is. So what is not the word of knowledge? It's not education. It is not simply having knowledge. Education obviously can be acquired by someone who has never had the Spirit. The gift of the word of knowledge has no mixture at all with the natural. You know, it's not that I have studied engineering all my life and now I have a word of knowledge on how to build that bridge over there. That is not what the word of knowledge is. It's not teaching, for teaching requires study and mental ability. It's not psychology, which is science of the mind. It's not fortune-telling. And I keep saying this, and I said it about prophecy. It's not going out and having a horoscope. It's not going out and doing a seance or a Ouija board to find out about somebody. Fortune-telling is condemned by God because it comes from Satan. Remember, again, with prophecy, we filter everything through the Word of God. If it doesn't fit in the Word of God, then you throw it away. And straight away we know that fortune-telling, anything to do with talking to mediums and spirits, etc., 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 is not what God's Word says. Satan, through fortune-telling, is trying to tell you something that will worry you, will break up your home, that will talk about some impending disaster. Oh, yes. Yes, you have a short lifeline. You know, it doesn't bring forth life. It brings forth death. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, to kill and destroy. I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. Fortune telling is not about life, it's about death. In short, it does not bring forth edification. It does not bring forth exhortation. It does not bring forth comfort. It is not an audible voice, or not often. In fact, I only found one scripture that I could say there was an audible voice in regard to the word of knowledge, and that was in Samuel. And then it said, and then the Lord said, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered and said, "Here am I." But in 1 Kings it says this, "After the earthquake came the fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire came a gentle whisper." So often the way that God speaks to us is not in an audible voice. Very rarely would I think that you'd ever have a word of knowledge in an audible voice. It's something that happens inside your spirit. It's something that you just, as I continually say, it's your knower. You just know that you know that you know. And the more you exercise the word of knowledge, the more you know that your knower is working properly. And I might give you a couple of examples of the word of knowledge in a little while. It's not the gift of knowledge. Okay, but the gift of a word of knowledge. You know, I think it's important to know that it's a word. It's not a sentence. It's not a paragraph. It's not a book. It's not every bit of knowledge. It's just a word. It's just a word. God does not give us all knowledge on an issue. He gives us a part, and he uses it to get our attention. He uses it to be delivered to somebody to build them up, to show them that God knows about them. In fact, word of knowledge is used, believe it or not, for salvation. It's not guessing. It's not imagination. It's not something that comes out of your mind. God speaks to our spirit, not to our mind, not to our ears. It's not the knowledge of God, or the knowledge of God's word. Again, that comes from learning. And again, when we look at Samuel, we know that Eli was a student of the word. Eli, believe it or not, had lost vision. Samuel, a novice, someone young, someone who hadn't spent time studying like Eli, he had a word of knowledge. He received a word of knowledge. So, if those are the things that aren't the word of knowledge, what is the word of knowledge? The spiritual gift of the word of knowledge is certain facts in the mind of God which he sees fit to reveal supernaturally by his Spirit. Spiritual gift of the word of knowledge is certain facts in the mind of God which he sees fit to reveal supernaturally by his Spirit. I think that's the most amazing gift. And again, the more you see it used in accuracy, the more you understand it, and the more you even think about that, that we can have inside of us this gift that God uses to reveal himself and facts about things that he sees that we need to know. As I said before, it's only a word or a portion of his knowledge. It can come through dreams. It can come through visions. Come through revelation. And as I said, rarely an audible voice. You know, I had a gentleman this morning come up and he was at church for the first time, never been here before. He goes to another church and he said, you know, that word that was spoken to me this morning, or spoken for us this morning, was a word for me. In fact, I was woken at 3 o'clock this morning and I had the name Life Ministry Center in my mind. And I just knew that I had to come to Life Ministry Center. But my wife, she likes to go to this other church. But it's funny, you know, when I got up in the morning, she said, I think we should go to Life Ministry Center this morning. He had a word of knowledge. He was asleep. Woke him up. And yet God also spoke to his wife a word of knowledge. It's always given supernaturally. I think that was supernatural. And again, we can talk about that in a minute. It can tell the whereabouts, the condition, the nature, thoughts of a person, an animal, a place, a thing, when it's impossible to know those things in the natural. I guarantee you that I would say right now, how many people have lost something and prayed and they've found it? Hands up. That's a word of knowledge. God has given you a word of knowledge. You know, we think, oh, just coincidence. I don't think it is coincidence. We prayed. We asked God. Why did you ask God if you didn't expect to get an answer? And then why didn't you thank God when you got the answer? Or why didn't you recognize that that was a word of knowledge? It differs from the gift of faith in that it lets you know things when you don't even pray often. The gift of faith deals with things not yet come to pass, otherwise it wouldn't be faith. It's not a vocal gift, as it makes you know, not speak. It just comes into your knower. It's not the discerning of spirits. It has nothing to do with spiritual or spirits or supernatural spirits. We'll talk about that in a minute. It helps you look into the heart, the mind, or the nature of a man or woman, and to know secrets and intentions in their heart. Isn't that a scary thought? Look into my eyes, Andrew. You know, we used to fear or think that we didn't like it when the prophet was coming to town because he was going to say things about you. That's not prophecy. That's the word of knowledge. But again, it's used for edification, comfort, and exhortation, not for abuse, not to hurt you, not to wound you. I found this really interesting as I unpacked this gift. Even though it's been used to help people find lost things, the word of knowledge's main purpose in the Bible is to help find lost souls. Isn't that an incredible thing? God has given this gift that people might come to know him. If we look at some biblical examples, and I'll do it real quick. Peter was lying on the roof, And the Spirit told him that three men were seeking him. You can look up the scriptures yourself. The Spirit of God told Samuel that Saul's asses had already been found, and then showed Samuel what was in Saul's heart. God told Elijah when he was complaining that there was no Christians left or no men of God left, that the 7,000 were hidden who had not bowed down to Baal. The Spirit told Elisha the location of the Syrian camp and where to go. Ananias, when Paul in the New Testament, was being confronted with God in that blinding light, Ananias was told where to go and find Paul and to bring him back to his house. God revealed to Paul the damage that was going to happen in a voyage that was coming up. And Paul told the captain what was going to happen and what to do. Jesus had a word of knowledge about the woman at the well, that she was living with a man and that she had five husbands. Now, that wasn't a prophetic word for her. She didn't even have to have that word of knowledge. She knew. But Jesus, who didn't know, received a word of knowledge and told her. And then you look at the salvations that took place straight after that. John 1, it says that Jesus knew the condition of Nathanael's heart and life and what he'd been doing. Jesus told Peter, didn't he, that he was going to deny him three times before the cock crowed. So the word of knowledge is right through the Bible. Who's had a word of knowledge here? Okay, Matt, tell us. Out loud. I was going to say speak to yourself, but no, out loud. Needed to read a lot. Okay, good stuff. I had one the other day. I was in bed. It was just before we came back to work a couple of Sundays ago, and I woke up in the morning and I couldn't get out of my brain that I had to ring the council to find out what was happening in regard to the permit applications for the hotel. And that morning I got into work and the first thing I did was ring the council, and they told me that the permit opportunities for speaking had closed, but if I got a letter in that day, the guy would let me able to speak. You know, that was a word of knowledge. There's no doubt about that. I had a word of knowledge once driving Pastor Oxley to the airport. Now, that was one of my favorite jobs, driving Pastor Oxley to the airport. I would go there. I had an hour with him, an hour back, and it was just fantastic. And even though I showed and told Pastor Oxley the quickest way to go, he believed that was his quickest way to go. And one day we're driving, and I woke up that morning and I felt not to go the quick way, but to go around the long way. And Pastor Oxley, as you know, is a stickler for time and everything else. And he was desperately upset at me for going the wrong way. And I said, "Hal, I have to go this way, because this morning I woke up and while I was showering, I just felt God say to me, you have to go this way." We got to the airport and we were pretty close on missing his plane, which wouldn't have made him very happy, I can tell you. It was an international flight. But driving home, there was a major prang on the opposite side when I was driving home. In fact, it was so big that it was in the paper the next day. Did I have great delight in photocopying it and faxing it to him? Because that was a word of knowledge. And, you know, it sounds simple, but in real terms, God is interested in our life and wants to speak to us and wants to lead us and wants to be there as our helper. A word of knowledge is a fantastic thing and can be as used as simply as where to find your lost keys, to who to speak to, what to speak to. Dave Odd, are you here tonight, Dave? No. Dave Odd and I used to run a healing meeting, and we would spend an afternoon getting words of knowledge for people, because there's something about receiving a word of knowledge for somebody and then being able to pray for them. Their faith is lifted in a mighty way. And I remember one day Dave got this word. We had a base statement that we would never change what we got. What we got, we said as it was. And so Dave had this word: "There's a lady here and you've got a scabby, pussy head." A scabby, pussy head. Now, if you'd like to come out, I'll pray for you now. Is there any ladies here with scabby, pussy heads? And we looked around and we didn't see any scabby, pussy heads. And we kept on saying. We know, because we knew at this stage when God had given us something that was there. And finally, there was a lady in our meeting who we'd never seen before, and she was wearing a wig, and she had a scabby, pussy head. It looked ugly. And she wore this wig to cover her head. And finally, she took her wig off and allowed us to pray for her, and God healed her. Now, we didn't know. We virtually knew most of the people in that meeting at that stage. Amazing thing. Word of knowledge is an awesome thing. And I believe that all of us, to a degree, have a word of knowledge for some things. Rick?
When we're dealing with kids at school, up in Oxley, we often have that sort of thing happen.
Mm.
Where God just gives us knowledge that is like spot on to dealing with issues.
Sure.
Sometimes those issues can be really complicated.
Mm.
This knowledge just comes in and it's like, well, you know, we call it God stuff.
Yeah. Well, sometimes the word of knowledge is the word of wisdom as well, and you've probably got both. So let's look at the word of wisdom quickly. The word of wisdom is a supernatural manifestation of God's Spirit, which gives you a portion of God's wisdom at the time it is needed. Think about that. It gives you a portion of God's wisdom at the time that is needed. In James it says, if any lack wisdom, let him ask and it will be given liberally. I don't know how many times I've been in meetings or in situations or circumstances and I need wisdom. And you might, as a parent, need wisdom in dealing with your children. You might be in a meeting and you need wisdom in dealing with people. You might be just doing your normal stuff and you need wisdom. You might be at work and somebody asks you a question. You don't know how to answer it. And God gives you a supernatural impact of wisdom that straight away allows you to say something that you wish you'd thought of yourself. It just happens. Romans 11:33. Chrissy, could you get me some tissues, please? Romans 11:33. Oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge. How impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and his ways. That's great. Thanks. It's all right, Chris. Oh, Matt, these have been used.
They were Lissa's.
Were they yours? What a beautiful daughter-in-law you are. Oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge. How impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and his ways. So what isn't the word of wisdom? Again, it's not something learned by natural mind. It can't be education, training, methods, or natural wisdom. It's not the ability to have insight. Sorry, not the ability to have spiritual insight that has been gained over years and years of experience. You know, Pastor Oxley, he's been studying the Word of God for 55 years. And I don't know whether you're here this morning, but that was just a brilliant display of just the wealth and the depth of the knowledge of God within that man. You know, as you study, as you develop, as you grow in God, you get natural wisdom. You learn principles. Now, this goes beyond what you would learn over time. It's not psychology, which again is the science of the mind. It's not divine wisdom. Now, think about that. Every one of us has divine wisdom. Solomon, believe it or not, had divine wisdom. But there was only twice or three times, I think, where the gift of wisdom, the word of wisdom came upon him that he outworked to bring about certain things. Yet he had divine wisdom. That's what he asked. It's not somebody who's got a really high IQ and is very, very smart like Dale Cocaine. Okay? It's not all of God's wisdom on a subject. It's just the word of wisdom for an occasion. And it's not the product of the natural mind, but it works through the spirit of the man. It doesn't come there. It's like that prophetic thing that we talked about. It's instantaneous. It just pops in and you think, wow, where did that come from? I wish I had thought of that. So what is it? It is the supernatural ability to apply knowledge already possessed. It is knowledge rightly applied by the Spirit. So it's just something that is a supernatural gift. You just know that it wasn't there and it's just come upon you. It's God showing the how, the why, the when, the where, and the what of a matter. And if you think about that, and I haven't got time to unpack it, I wish I did, but if you thought about that, you know, that's how it comes. You're sitting in a situation and God gives you the how or the why or the when or the where or the what, and it just solves the situation. It just divides the situation. You might be counseling somebody, you might be speaking into somebody's life, and bang, a thought pops in and you say it and it just solves the issue. The how, the what, the how, the why, the what, the when, where, whatever. It is the supernatural solution of a problem. Isn't it fantastic to have these gifts living within us, these things, this gift of God resident within us that we can call upon at any time for any situation? How often we, I think, let God down because we don't use what He's placed within us. It also builds the church, and the word of wisdom brings revival. And it can come by visions, by dreams, by revelations, by a still small voice, or even by an audible voice in this occasion. So some examples in the Bible. Solomon faced a problem of how to determine which mother belonged to that child. And you might remember the story. Two women came in. One of the babies had died. They had this baby, and both of them claimed that that baby was theirs. And Solomon, in a word of wisdom, called for a sword. Give me a sword! Bring the baby up, lay it down. And immediately, one of the mothers said, "No, no!" And Solomon knew that that was the mother of the baby, because she was prepared for the other lady to have that baby rather than it be cut in half. That was a word of wisdom. I wouldn't try it at home if I were you, but that was a word of wisdom. Remember Jesus, He had a word of wisdom. Word of wisdom that ended the conflict over the future of the woman taken into adultery. Remember what He did? He just bent down and with His finger He wrote in the sand. Now, it doesn't tell us what He wrote, but it could be that He wrote the sin of all of those that were there accusing her. Lust, pride, da-da-da, da-da-da. Jesus also had a word of wisdom when He was dealing with that question of the tax question. It says in the scripture, "Now tell us what you think about this. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" Jesus knew their evil motives. I love that. He knew their evil motives. So He had a word of knowledge straight away. "You hypocrites," He said, "why are you trying to trap me? Here, show me a coin used for the tax." When they handed Him a Roman coin, He asked, "Whose picture and title are stamped on it?" "Caesar's," they replied. "Well," then He said, "give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God." That was a word of wisdom. A great word of wisdom. Okay, the last one, discerning of spirits. The gift of discerning of spirits is the supernatural manifestation of the Spirit of God revealing to you what spirit is in operation. Now, so often people think this gift is a gift of discerning evil spirits. It doesn't say that. It's the discerning of spirits. Is the spirit that's operating in this room right now an evil spirit or a good spirit? Am I speaking from the viewpoint of an evil spirit or a good spirit? This is what the discerning of spirits is all about. It's God revealing to you the spirit that is operating in a person or a situation or a circumstance. And, you know, Chris and I have often said that we know what is operating. We've walked through, we love going to Mansfield. If we've got international guests, we'll always take them to Mansfield. We love Mansfield. It's a beautiful town. And we'll walk along the street and there's a shop, and I can still picture it. We walked into it the last time we were there and we got in and we go, "Woohoo, there's some hooky bookies in here." And as we walked around the corner, there was this great big fat Buddha with all his incense burning. And then we looked around the corner a bit more and there was a lady with a crystal and she was doing some palm reading and some readings for people. It just had a heaviness about it. We didn't even need to go in too far. but you could sense the hooky-bookies. Evil spirits, hooky-bookies. Okay, it's just that simple. All you have to do is have your spiritual knower working, and you know. And you would know in houses, you would know in situations and circumstances what spirit is operating in that. So that is what the discerning of spirits is all about. It's not a gift of imagination or suspicion. Ooh, she's got black hair, she must be a witch. It's not suspicion, it's not imagination. That's not good. It's not reading someone's mind or thoughts. It's not that. It's not the gift of discerning faults. Lots of people think they have that gift. But let me tell you, it's Satan who is the fault finder. God is the problem solver. And if you've got someone who discerns all your faults, then they're operating in the wrong spirit. That's a given. You can just put a tick on that one for yourself. It's not the gift of discernment, but the gift of discerning spirits, both good and bad. It's not spiritism, which is condemned by God. But on the same token, in the world and the age that we live, we're going to see occult practice increase. We're going to see a whole lot of stuff increase. And this gift is given to us to protect us and to protect the church, which is very, very important. So what is it? The discerning of spirits is God's spirit making us to know what spirit is manifest. It's a supernatural look into the world of spirits. And unfortunately for us in the West here, we get a little bit suspicious about spirits. But if you went up to New Guinea or over to Africa or some of those places, you would have no problems recognizing and understanding that there is a spirit world realm that is operating out there right now. And it's operating here. But we're just a bit closed-minded to see it happening and to see the way it works. It's a supernatural knowledge of God concerning the presence and the activity of spirits. That is a knowledge of judging and discerning and recognizing of what the spirit of Satan or the spirit of man or the spirit of God is operating at that time. It's essential in discerning, distinguishing, and properly judging of prophecies, as Paul said. Remember Paul, when we talked about prophecy, he said, test the spirits, whether it be a false prophet or not. So we're told to do it. And particularly in prophecy, you've got to test the spirit in which it's being given and where it's coming from. It's what God uses to keep the church safe. Paul in 1 Timothy 4:2 says that there would be seducing spirits and doctrines of devils that would try and creep into the world today. And unfortunately, lots of churches are full of seducing spirits because the minister or the person that is leading that church is full of them himself or herself. The gift reveals the kind of spirits that people may be operating under, good or bad, rebellion, pride, lust, infirmity, lying. You know, again, we need to have our spiritual antennae up, that we might know when we're talking to somebody or when somebody's there, what spirit they're operating in. By thy fruit you shall know them, the Bible says. The discerning of spirit shows what gift is operating in the service and how God is working. You know, we pray out in the back room all the time, Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would take charge of this meeting and that you would lead and guide us. I ask of it, that the people leading the worship would be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit. They would discern what the Spirit wants, rather than having their song sheet and just working off their song sheet. If they feel in their knower that God is leading them down somewhere, that's the discerning of spirits as much as in the negative. And we should be operating in the positive as much as we are in the negative. Sometimes, again, we get so caught up in the negatives that we don't realize that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are given to us for the positive as well. In Acts, these are biblical examples, in Acts 13, 6 to 10, they traveled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who was an attendant of Sergius Paulus. He was an intelligent man sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But the sorcerer, for that was what his name meant, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at the eyes of this man and said, "You are a child of the devil." I'd love to do that. "You are a child of the devil, an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord?" You know, sometimes we have to call something what it is and let people know what they're operating in. In Acts 14, he was listening to Paul as he talked, and Paul, gazing intently at him, observed that he had faith to be healed. Checked out and looked and saw he had a good spirit. Acts 8:23, "For I can see that you are full of bitter jealousy and you are held captive by sin." I can see, not natural eyes, spiritual eyes. I can see. Jesus discerned 2,000 spirits in one man. He discerned 7 spirits in Mary. He discerned the spirit of prejudice in James and John, the spirit of covetousness in Judas, the spirit of pride in Peter. And then Jesus said that we would do the same works that he does and even greater works. You know, tonight we've talked about three gifts, three knowing gifts, three gifts of revelation that are given to us to help us do the work of God and to help us to see his kingdom grow, to see his kingdom develop, to see people come to know him. And again, tonight, I want to pray that we would see these gifts released in our midst, the gifts of knowing, the gifts of revelation, and that we would use them for our own edification, comfort, and exhortation. But we would also use them to help others. You know, as Rick said, they see the gifts operating in a daily basis when they work with the children. Imagine if we go to work and we just say, "God, give us words of knowledge. Give us words of wisdom. Lord, Father, help me to discern the spirit that I'm operating or that people are operating in." Imagine what you could do in helping people change. You imagine going up to somebody and saying, "Hey, God just showed me that you've got a real bad headache right now. Could I pray for you?" Now, we might not do it because we might have fear. But on the same token, if God be for us, who can be against us? It's time that we started to move in and use what God has given us. Next time I preach, I was going to do three, but I decided just before church started that I was going to do one. We're going to do the power or action gifts the next time I speak, and I'm going to talk on the gift of healing. I was going to do miracles, healing, and faith, but I'll do miracles and faith another night. I want to do healing the next time we come together. Let's pray. Why don't we all stand? Father, I pray that you would overshadow each person right now. And Lord, as much as we last week pray that you would release the gift of prophecy, that we would see, Lord God, the gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues, we would see, Lord God, those vocal gifts being released in our church. Father, tonight I pray that we would see a release, a fresh release, Lord God, of the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the discerning of spirits. That, Lord, we invite your spirit to take control of our beings right now. If you really do want this, I'm going to keep my eyes closed. I'd like you just to raise your hands. And if you're wanting the Holy Spirit to be released in you right now in these areas, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, gift of discerning of spirits, just raise your hand. Father, I pray that you would fall upon each of these people right now. And Lord God, that there would be an outpouring of your spirit afresh and anew. Father, I know that the minute I got saved, the minute these people got saved, everything about you was placed in us. So Father, I pray right now that you would rise up within them in faith, Lord God, and that there would be a breaking forth of your power upon them. And Father, we would have test me after test me of the operation of these gifts. And Lord God, as we talked about the word of knowledge, I pray that we would see people coming to know you because of its accurate operation. Lord God, wisdom in circumstances and situations. Father, I just pray that you would manifest yourself afresh upon us and that we would step out boldly in the operation of these gifts. We pray this in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. And thank you for coming. Don't forget, if you're going to go to Chicks, you need to sign up tonight. If you want to do Life Keys, you need to do that as well.